Again, hello from the translation booth. This is the talk, Clarity as a Weapon. Lucius, Islix and Übermorgen will talk about artistic freedom and Happy Dystopia and their artistic freedom. So the artist collective Übermorgen, which means Day After Tomorrow, are our guests, and they want to talk about how we can, in the currently quite chaotic world with people like Trump and similar, how we can continue and how it can help us in the future. Please, a very warm welcome to our three artists.
Den Computer entlocken, bitte, bei dir, damit ich bei dir die Speaker nutze. Hi.
Hi.
Ja, hallo. Yes. Nice to meet you.
Hello, nice to meet you. We have brought you a hopefully nice presentation. We are from Switzerland and from Austria, and from both Switzerland and Austria, but our working language is usually English, because we also have an American background. So if it's a bit wonky sometimes, the Denglish, the mix of English and German, is a feature, not a bug. The title of our presentation is Clarity as a Weapon. And yep, that's the title. And I'm grateful for the big scene because I lost my glasses, and if it's big like that, I can read it. Even here, if I don't see you all, I'm blind, okay? We've been invited and, well, we've been approached, invited us with much here at this Congress, and we were happy to say yes, because the title is Illegal Instructions. That's a methodology which we've been working with forever. And we interpreted it a bit differently. We call it off-label use, but it's generally a method that's very widely used in art, and so it's very, very relevant to us, and not just to us as artists, but generally, if it's relevant in art, it's relevant for the world, even if you don't believe us, but this is a fact. Maybe about us. We exist since 1995. We grew up in net art. We did a lot of media hacking, but we're also children of actionism. If anybody knows it, Viennese actionism, it's the greatest thing ever. And if you think something we don't do here is not okay, please look at the Viennese actionism. We're rather tame in comparison. We said we give us talk a little bit of structure, so you know your way around. We're going to show you three of our projects. Just you can see what we're doing, and they're from different times. And then we're going to talk about our methodology, about hacking and subversion in art. And we're going to show you projects. And then we have a little manifesto for you. And then Billy is going to talk about the end of subversion, because this is the question, does it still work today? Are we for it? Are we against it? And then we're going to move on to action, the DIY of fighting and of aesthetics, and which is going to lead us to radical universalism. This is the general structure of our talk today. So we've got slogans, which we're going to put between. So here's our three projects. The first project is Water Auction. Maybe some of all you all know that. It's from year 2000. It's a website where you could buy votes for the Bashvigor election on an auction platform. So buy a vote, essentially. This was not a fake. This was real. It existed. And I'm going to play you a little video about it. It's a CNN feature, which was broadcast on primetime television, and is going to tell you a little bit about this project.
Not gonna... So you didn't hear this over the speaker, did you? So I couldn't hear it. Yes? Okay, so I didn't hear this. Dankeschön, so I'm going to play it anyway. Sorry, just one back. Ah, it's a bit different. Okay, I see the mouse. But we can't hear it via the speaker, can we?
We'll elect our next commander-in-chief, but could that decision be rerouted over the internet? A website engineered halfway around the world is offering to literally buy your vote. Today on Burden of Proof, bidding for ballots, democracy on the block.
This is Burden of Proof with Greta Van Susteren and Roger Cossack.
Hello and welcome to Burden of Proof. Yesterday on the campaign trail, George W. Bush proclaimed that W stands for women, Wisconsin, where Greta's from, and win. Three W's also serve as that familiar prefix for our journeys along the information superhighway, World Wide Web.
But the race for the White House between Bush and his opponent, Vice President Al Gore, could be vulnerable because of the internet. A website run by an Austrian holding company has been offering to buy American votes in this November's election.
www.voteauction.com was shut down over the weekend under the order of a Cook County, Illinois judge. But Saturday night, the site resurfaced under a slightly different name, suggesting voters asked for a donation this time instead of selling their votes.
Joining us today from Philadelphia is Scott Hemphill, who's the general counsel of Domain Bank, which along with VoteAuction.com was named as a defendant in a lawsuit in Chicago. In Los Angeles, we're joined by internet law professor Stuart Beagle.
And in Sacramento, California, we're joined by William Woods, chief counsel to the California Secretary of State, where I'm from. And here in Washington, Melissa Stratton, constitutional law expert Bruce Fine, and Anthony Acosella. In the back, Al Peterson and Aaron Maloney. Well, first, I want to go right to you, Scott, as the representative of Domain. Why are you being sued in this lawsuit? Why are you a defendant?
Well, I think it's a case, a classic litigation tactic of casting a wide web. We are the domain name registrar. It's easy to find who we are by doing a lookup.
So there seem to be some technical difficulties. I'm just going to be loud. So I'm going to take this one, okay? So we can see in this whole project, there are two pages or two sides of this project. One of them is the medial side. There are 3,000 features worldwide. Und diese Features sind immer im Zeitkomplex, are always to be seen in the time frame. Now I was talking about media.
Peak US Empire.
So this was the peak of the US Empire. So the president of the USA was the world president, de facto, to a certain degree.
Und die Integrität der Wahl quasi.
The integrity of the election was in question, and you could see this at CNN primetime, but also in Europe and in Asia and everywhere and so on. So the other side was the juristic side. We had 13 lawyers and barristers, 700 kilogram of legal documents. This is an installation that toured the world with it. So you could buy this and you could see it in galleries. There is 700 kilogram of a court order. So the Americans just thought that the American law works in Europe. We were in a boot lab, maybe some of you know this still. And And then we had NSA, CIA, FBI, BKA, the Austrian Secret Service, don't know how that was called. And all of them started terrorizing us. Sorry, I'm already old.
Okay, fucking Fanta 4, yeah. Magst du noch was sagen zu dem Projekt?
Want to say anything about the project? I mean, I can say these projects is on the one hand, if you're leaving, you're doing 20 interviews a day, and in the end they were just talking about the press interviews because it wouldn't have been efficient otherwise. But it's very expensive, obviously. But the advantage is we didn't have the money. So that means it didn't cost us anything, because, and that's the next advantage, if you don't have the money, and then you have later even less, so that's interesting financial mathematics. It shouldn't be physically possible, but anyway, later you're immune to later lawsuits, because if you don't have anything, they can't take anything. So we didn't get any further in debt. Then next projects, it kind of saved us from risking too much, because if there's nothing there, you can't get anything. So the next project is called, I was going to say something about corporality, but we need to stick to the schedule. The next project is part of the e-commerce trilogy, which is from the three big ones from the 90s, eBay, Amazon, and Google. And the first one is Google Will Eat Itself. It was about creating a kind of click farm, and that's a hint to see that in art, as in the CCC in the early days and even now, we were ahead of our times and are ahead of our times. We built these click farms with an AdWords system. We built botnets that were also doing clicks. And then that's how, and we transferred the money we got from Google to a Swiss bank. And then from this account, we had a bot buy Google stock. So Google would eat itself, an auto cannibalistic process.
Gibt's da noch was dazu zu sagen?
Is there anything else to say about it?
It
was really complex, but really not complex. We did it with two other people. And we had little installations, little basements. It was a nice little project, because in contrast to Vote Auction, which was really huge, it was very conceptual. It wouldn't have made sense to really go that hard again, because then you're the court jester. So we would have needed about 200 million years to buy Google. We did our due diligence, so we didn't do that. We could have scaled it, sure, and it would have gone faster. But, eh.
So the next project we want to show you is ongoing. It's called The Digs, and I came up with it accidentally, because I was listening to people from the NFT space in the context of Bitcoin and CryptoPunks. So usually there is no explicit feminist project, but this project is explicitly feminist, I would say. So if you want to have a portrait of you as an NFT, it should be very explicit, not your face, but your dick. You can send a dick pic, but it's all art, so it's fine. So we create these NFTs, and it's a whole series. And the price is different, of course. And I like to make portraits of people I don't like. Those are cheap. They are cheap dicks. Or the one in the middle, it's expensive. So it starts at 10 euros and goes up to 10,000 around. And yeah, so this is a Kanye, I would say. So it's hand pixeled. It's nothing from a machine.
Man kann unglaublich endlose Witze damit machen.
And the joke opportunities are endless. And there's a nice song as well. I made it with Bitsuno. And creating NFTs is for some people really dirty, but for us, we create the pixel shit since 95, and we think it's really odd because we don't like galleries, because it just doesn't work with our stuff. And just because it's art and not collectibles, it really works. So before, we couldn't really sell it to collectors, but now it's possible. And it's nice that you can buy a dick pic. Now let's move on. So the next part, where we wanted to go in a bit deeper into our methods. So the text is hacking is actionism is art. So they took the wrong medication today. He thought it was an aspirin, but it was a little bit of a downer. So no, it's all legal. It's all legal. I just didn't get why everything is hazy, and I couldn't concentrate anymore. But now it's fine. A Ritalin, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, so the next project, it's called, not like that, but Amazon Noir. It's our second project, always in the context. So it's from 2007. Today it's just art history, but not currently relevant. So we have an art form, how do you call it, an exploit? So look inside the book. It's really simple. So with 10,000, 20,000 queries, we could extract a whole book. Then we extracted a book, branded it, and that's why Amazon Noir. It's basically a reference to the 1940s, 50s, the noir movies, and we took similar aesthetics. But it's about this system weakness. And speaking of the topology, speaking of the system weakness, all of you know it, at least those hacking systems, it's always about optimizing the other person's system or the other side's system to make it better. So back then we didn't have a problem, but that's why we're here. Now we have the problem. Back then we didn't have an issue with responsibility, so we did it. We aestheticized things, branded the books, and uploaded them as torrents. It's 10,000s, 100,000s of books. Here you see the flowchart of our software, how we automized everything. This is one of my favorite slogans. I really like it. And I really like putting it in signatures. Everything we do is copy left, of course. So everything you could take from us, you can print it, put it on t-shirts, whatever you want. There's a lot of stuff from us you can buy anyway. On Timo or I don't know. And another method that I would like to demonstrate is Super Enhanced. It was inspired by Enhanced Interrogation and Supermax Prisons. And the copyright is of the USA, of course. And this is about how can I artistically, but not only artistically, but also emotionally and intellectually, handle a topic that's so fucked up that it's impossible to increase the fucked upness, because it wouldn't work anymore, it wouldn't add anything. So at its core, this is an interrogation software, because we thought the enhanced interrogation that the Americans invented post 9/11. Let's play this. I'll keep talking. We have no sound anyway. So the problem back then was that enhanced interrogation, which is torture, basically, that they found a way to make it legal. Of course, it's still not legal, but that's now technicalities. What is legal? What isn't? what isn't legal and international courts. It's emotional topics, of course. And we thought, if we make this interrogation software, if politics and politicians have such trouble with torture, then let's make a software so the machine decides and it's nobody's fault. It's perfect responsibility diffusion now. Go away. Yeah. And what's the movie now? I'm not certain what's coming now. Okay, the system graph, yeah. I'm so blind, I'm sorry. It doesn't make any sense now. So the whole thing is very simple. It's very simple. So the most coding that we do is done by me. And if I can, I just use HTML, and if necessary, JavaScript, and if nothing else works, Perl. So the stuff would work in 1995, and it's stable. And I'm a great fan, or we are great fans, of low-tech approaches. Because low-tech, it works, it doesn't have any needs, and there's very few barriers. I think 12 years ago I was here last time and I said, I don't need Ruby, I have Perl or something like that. Yeah, what the hell? Yeah, it's always bad when people come and say they have to build a system. So this is a video we want to show to complex topics when we are talking about war and violence. To reduce it is reducing things is a practical tool of art. And we made this with children. And what you see is things that happened like that back then. And if you have children, you can easily create these without someone complaining. Well, after time, someone will complain, but at the time, nobody will complain. You can complain if you like. And the documentations are from Syria. We were in Syria, that made it easy. Yeah.
So then, I said earlier that we have prepared a little manifesto, and we want to play this. In the name of art, the questions and the doubt, we call upon you, come from the dark, from the dust. Art does not lead, it doesn't have a mission, and it doesn't preach, it doesn't explain, but art hits. It is clarity that lies lie bare, rips the patterns and takes away the fog that deceives us. We're not leaders, we're not prophets. We are not saviors, we're artists. Our work burns, our clarity destroys. Art is a sacrament of
Kunst ist eine Explosion der Fragen. Klarheit ist keine Wahrheit.
Clarity is not truth. Clarity is not an aim.
Präzise, unkontrollierbar.
Clarity is imprecise, uncontrollable. Listen to our call, look at it, doubt it, and lift the fog, because clarity is a weapon, and it is yours.
Im Namen der Kunst.
In the name of art.
Yep. Das ist, falls ihr ihn erkannt habt, das ist Peter Thiel als der Mann, der er sein möchte. Und
that was Martin Thiel and the guy he wants to be.
Und, ja, dann
and yes, so maybe we go further, where Ilya is going to say something about this. We want to say something about this version, because many things of what we've talked about until now are from the principle subversive. And in this post-truth times that we are in, one mission of technology, which is used by the press guys, by Trump as well, is it even possible? How do we deal with this, with all these situations? Where narratives go away and are substituted by pure emotions, with disinformation and strategical diversion in the face of the end of subversion and the narration and the upcoming of the vibe, which new methods should be developed, will be developed to process information better?
Where the body turns into an interchangeable mass and any aesthetic gesture is immediately claimed by the system, how do we really provoke with art? Polarizing algorithms, changes in perception, and the flooding with massive amounts of data are really widespread in this Trump area, and they contribute to a crisis of responsibility. Earlier, artists and researchers were released and were free to experiment, but today there's control everywhere about the assumption of responsibility of normal persons. So, what does art say? Well, it's the Peter Thiel video is perfect for this, actually, because it demonstrates when we made it. I thought it's wrong. It's fake. The manifest is what we want to say, because we're standing here to deliberate with us. We went a part of the way already, but we haven't found a solution yet. And Peter Thiel,
he
could say the same, and that's the problem. We live in a world where we share in common with Trump the old media. We started to gain control over the old media. You saw this in the CNN video. We suddenly had the possibility, with a budget of zero, basically, to reach 5 million people globally, which is, as this was calculated, we reached 5 million people with a budget of null. And Trump uses these exact same methods today. And this is where we're in a situation where in the last 5-6 years we understood this. And we stepped back, didn't do any more projects in this direction. We started to work with the concept of happy dystopia, to think about how to build constructions, artistic constructions, that we can do responsible. We are older, we can assume responsibility now. But the problem is, any and all methodology, and that applies for us, for you, for all of us, any method that we develop, any system, any trick, any hack, any exploit, everything will be digested by companies, new entities, algorithms. We're going to show you a new identity. We think it exists already, we're not sure. But it is going to be used against us, against the organic world, in real time. That's my short take on it. Yeah, the Peter Thiel is just this post-irony. Everything is a joke. And so nobody needs to assume any responsibility for anything. And it doesn't matter anymore. You can't tell anymore if Thiel says the same things that we say, because he mirrors us, because we mirror him, and because everything moves so fast, because the algorithms lead us so fast through these polarizing systems that we are starting to think similar things. And kind of monoculture develops, a digital monoculture, and this is very, very vulnerable.
ganz alte.
It's very vulnerable to old primitive ideas or to very, very new dangerous ideas. And also vulnerable to cool things. So that's the question, what we do in art. Can we still do this? That's why we're here today. So this is the next statement.
So how can art connect complex and time-overreaching contents? If dystopic future entities like PMC Wagner abuse the qualities of art and people at the same time thirst for answers, so vibe versus narrative. So freedom. Should I? Yeah, okay, let's talk about the PMC Wagner project. So the project that we want to show you about this, that's already talking about what we were talking about, and you can see a few pictures of this. So we like to create seals or logos. We learned from the Americans or US Americans, whoever has a presidential seal, they have the authority. And PMC Wagner Arts, it's a project where or that was created because of an exhibition in Leipzig, I think, that was sponsored by Palantir. And I remember that I stood there and I read it and I thought, well, if Palantir is now sponsoring art, then we can make a PMC Wagner Arts Foundation because it doesn't matter anymore. And a few weeks later, a curator talked to us because of a commission. And it was in a house where I thought, well, we will give them something. It won't be harmless. And it's a good curator, I have to say. So we worked on this commission together with them, and the project had two main points. One, and it's like Palantir, it's about art washing. So polishing your image by sponsoring art, or other charity, of course. So art whitewashing. And of course, another point that is the freedom of art. Because we noticed that the freedom, a new form of currency, it could be counted as a new form of currency, and we take it and redistribute it. And one of the main principles of artists is the freedom of art. That's what makes us different from the other civic people. So we are allowed to do things the normal person doesn't, is not allowed to do. And that's the main point where this project really shines. We imagined there is an entity. So this PMC Wagner Arts, it's a hybrid organism that protects itself and abuses the freedom of art by having the mercenaries and the mines that they have in African countries and the dictators. They are defined as performances. And thereby, the freedom of art is abused before the International Court in Den Haag. And so they are protected and they have privileges. And they are this kind of organism. Yeah, keep going. Now we can talk about the technology behind the project. We are using a 90s static. So I thought, these days it's difficult. No, it's not difficult. to do web-based art, it's really simple, but it's difficult because people don't get it. And it hurts sometimes. As if some people or all people believed that an image has to be a picture. And the website was finished and somebody said, well, there was an error. It's not adapted for mobile phones. And I said, really? I didn't know that any picture has to be adapted to digital frames. In this case, it is adaptive, but how I want. So it was one of my design choices. It's user unfriendly, because I really believe that the user unfriendliness is creating a useful interaction, especially with art, because otherwise it's too slippery. You don't even notice where there's friction. It doesn't have to work, it shouldn't work. And we are back at illegal instructions. So the broken creates the functional. And this is hand-coded hard HTML with nice tables and all those. So people hate it, but it works. I don't know what the problem is supposed to be. But it's really evil to use this, apparently. People really get angry. So if you want to make people angry, make tags, especially a BR, without, yeah. Okay, let's go on. And this is the opposite point. Of course, we are using AI a lot. Why, of course? Because it's great. Especially for people, and I don't know how you feel about it, but for me, we are really optimistic idiots. And so I can speak, but it's not my medium. When I'm alone, I don't speak. So let's imagine one of my colleagues, when we are together, we're not talking. These two, they are speaking all the time. That's exhausting. But AI, for me, is great because I just have to write down very simple instructions and it does everything. And about the visual stuff, I know what I want. And AI is just faster than Photoshop or any of these. So it's really helpful. So I really like Midjourney because for me it works the best and I don't have to fill a lot myself. But it's still easy to personalize things. Maybe it just works for me, I don't know. But honestly, I think if you really try, it works. Maybe something about the aesthetics or First Survivor? Something else first. So about the motto of AI being great, and that's a sentence we as artists and also professors at the university in Vienna, we say that to students. Use the shit. You don't have to be critical. So this is all professionals. They can do it. They can be critical. That's what I mean. And that's the difference. The freedom of art. The art can do and should do these things. Yeah, that's right. So he's right with what he says. But I really mean it. It doesn't make sense to say, well, no, it's bad. Yeah, just use it. Okay. I know a few years ago I did my heritage to test my own DNA because it's a living experiment and it works. And someone wrote me a few weeks ago, you can't upload your DNA to ChatGPT so they have their health data. Of course I do it, not because I think it's secure, because it's insecure. But as an artist, you have to do a self-experiment, same as scientists. And I can just say, you should do it as well. Because just sitting on everything and protecting yourself from surveillance or whatever the next evil is, it will come anyway. And that's why we have this Yeah, it's called Happy Dystopia. That was our last cycle. And I think it's really relevant to address this. And the next step would be... So we have 5-year communist cycles. And the next one is radical universalism. And Lucius knows more about this than me.
But beforehand, I'm going to do something else. But so before I've showed the one time now, 1-1-0, I think that's great. I think he meant 10, but I saw 1-0 and I found it funny. It's an interpretation. Okay, so we still have this little video just for the fun, but there are still important questions to be clarified with sound, though, but the sound is coming later. So you've got to give us some context, though. Fighting DIY style. So we occupied a whole fuel station in the night. We did a performance that we filmed only. Nobody saw it. And that was that. And the bigger context was oil should be a luxury good. It's a drop of oil should cost way more than it does now, 10,000 instead of one. So if it is so expensive, then it's got to be a luxurious luxury object. So that was one of the positive fights. We wanted to give you some manuals of how we do it and how we think that other people can do it as well. But again, we are extremely non-missionary. This is not something that we want to convince anybody of. It's just that how we do things is something that might be recommendable. So this is fight without aggression. It is a technology or a method that you have to practice, but if you know it, if you have it down, then you have the possibility to use the freedom to go from the individual and the artist to the global players, and then you can go back and you can get it back, you have the power. So no good deed goes unpunished. If you do something, you will always get punished for it. This is something that should be clear. Whenever it's about style, aesthetics is never something that's only funny. It's also a survival method. It is a relevant method in a market of scarcity to survive. So invest in style, invest in your own style, in aesthetics and everything that has to do with it. It's not something that we should let be controlled by Instagram. And this goes for almost all the problems, and almost 80% of all the young females really suffer from style restrictions that are opposed, that are proposed upon. But usually this is... So one of the things that is also important, if someone is attacked, triple down. We say triple down, not double down. Now, even now that we have been attacked for something, we do it, we especially do it. No? So we don't go into the defensive. No. Now you can do your radical universalism part, and you can do it, baby. We have 3 minutes.
That's one of the things we're currently doing. We are working with this system, and we try for the next 5 years to see what can we do, what can we achieve with it. But radical universalism, I can't explain it. I haven't even read the book myself, but I've already given 4 talks about it. Right? Yeah. Universal principles. There's the abstraction as a feat. So let's search together instead of stay apart. And find a common denominator instead of infighting. 70% of match between groups, that's a lot. That's not mine. I've got a different philosophy. 70% of consensus is enough. Like in this talk, I'm not happy with everything, but 70%, yeah, good enough. And also, this is exciting, about the discussions about LLMs and radical universalism. I got into physics a lot, and then to vibration, but not in this hippie sense, but more in the sense of actual physics. And the vibe and vibration in physics, that's the sound trick when we noticed the world doesn't look for narratives, but everything just vibes. It's just about vibes. Yeah, that's exciting sometimes, but how can we incorporate that in our cycle? And funny thing, when writing vibes, with I had a lot of difficulty describing vibes with LLMs, but the LLMs, they don't get the vibes. I managed it. So in conclusion, I wanted to say one more thing, because we're running out of time. One more thing. In here, it was fun, it was interesting, and maybe, I don't know what you take away from it, but it's very important to say, this is our life. What you've seen here, these methods, this way of working, this approach, these conflicts, all of them, yes, they're physical and they're scary. It's very digital, but it's still physically demanding. We do showings all over the world, but our core work is digital, but that's still physical. Vote Action was a physical labor. It was dangerous. We weren't a threat. I just want to give you some context to, yeah, this fun show about art. And now, back to you. You can finish this up with a dumb joke.
No,
it was nice. I'm not going to make a dumb joke. Thank you for the attention. Okay, one last slide. So, thank you.
Vielen, vielen Dank.
Grüß Gus, Lisflix.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let's do the Q&A now. If you have questions, join at the microphones. And there are a few here in the hall.
In Interaktion zu treten. Währenddem sich die Crowd hier noch ein bisschen sortiert.
While the crowd is sorting themselves.
Klageschriften in
Kilogramm. So I really like it to measure complaints in kilograms. So, to my first question, you have very controversial topics. How are you about slap attacks?
Das ist sehr gute Frage, weil das mache ich sehr gern.
So that's a good question. So I'm happy when people start a lawsuit, because I'm descended from lawyers, my fathers and my siblings, but they never have to help me because it's in my blood. Yeah, so we had a organic farm that sold dog meat, and it was even sponsored by advertisement, but they didn't really like it. So what do we do? They wanted to start a suit. So I wrote a lawsuit that they are not allowed to access our webpage. So, because they have a great firewall and they have a good... we knew their IP, and whenever they try to access our website, they got a young male gay porn. Mic 3. Yeah, short and easy. So this Peter Thiel, is that the guy from the States who is a bit weird? Business guy? Yes. A little bit crazy. He does more than just business. And after Eric Schmidt, I think he's one of the most influential. I don't want to call him thinker, but manipulator, who basically is very rich, so a billionaire. And it's more a self-fulfilling prophecy that they're building systematically. And they really are into supremacy and philosophy of supremacy. So the ultimate supremacy philosophies that they are behind. And I think he's one of the most dangerous. Maybe not the most dangerous, but one of them. He's also someone who is against schooling. And he's someone who sees himself above corporations, above humans, above everything. So education is not his. He's chronically online, but I can recommend the Red Scare podcast. It's weirdly funded. No, I can't recommend it, but it's weirdly funded by him. So he's very openly gay and queer, and he really promotes that energy, but it's very contrarian.
Und von dem war aber dieses Zitat.
And that's the quote from him. Yeah, of course.
Also wir waren doch relativ überrascht.
So we were surprised that he found those poetic words. I would have thought differently of him, but see what you know. There's one advantage for art. We are so far that you can fake anything. So in a court of law, nobody can say, no, that was so mean. No, that You can't prove that it's real. So we never had an issue artistically to use these things, well, problems. People worry, of course, but judicially, we never lost a case. Applause, applause.
Das Mikrofon Nummer zwei hat eine Frage.
Mike 2 has a question. Here you addressed in your talk how we moved towards vibes in the last 10 years. And now we have Trump, the AfD, Alternative for Germany, a German right-wing party. So from the political, scientific direction, we have propaganda war or meme affair. How do you see yourselves in your reaction to these developments? Well, I think that's the point. So we have the advantage because we are working in this area for so long. So we are not always having a project, but we are always working in this, area. So when I remember that in the 90s we created drama marketing, so any of these topics are not used in the art anymore because it will be backfiring and feeding the troll. But you can feed the troll, but only if you know exactly where you want to have the troll, where you want to move it. And I wouldn't recommend many people to do it, except they really know what they're doing, because then it can be really fun. But how should I say? You cannot reverse world government. But we never want to... We are not activists, we are actionists. We want to do art. Yeah. And I would like to know, so maybe looking back in this constellation, where would you see yourself as actors? Or I think there's the hacking problem. So you improve the system by making obvious the weak points. And that's always the question. So should we do it or only secretly? There are some things we're only doing in secret. I'll put it like that. And that makes sense. But I would not stop doing anything because then it could lead to that, to that, to that. That doesn't help us either. But sometimes we are very happy that our projects are not as far-reaching anymore as they used to be.
Ich danke. Ich glaube, da oben ist eine Frage.
Thanks.
Hört man mich?
I think up there is a question. Hello, can you hear me? Yes. So, this is a great action, you actionists. You had me with the video of Sevinger. And I was deep in my mind, is this, which kind of fuel is it? But you had this beautiful video with this child playing with this these toys. What kind of artist? What are you, an artist family? What do you do on Sundays? Please don't get too personal with your questions. No, we go into a coffee house on Sundays. That's how it goes in Vienna. Well, earlier we were told to we were told to be looking at us and ourselves as an artist piece itself. So it is everything. When you put your hobbies and everything that you have into your profession, then this is a unified thing. But we decided not to do that. And something interesting happened in the last years now. The children are in the family company, in the art family company, and that usually doesn't happen. I don't know any other artists or artist family that has a more generation family children. And in the economy, you find family companies everywhere. And I certainly like it. So I think it's cool. Thank you. Thank you very much. We have a last time. We have time for one last question. I didn't quite understand how you oppose, you put the concepts narrative and vibes as opposites. Could you maybe explain that again? Yeah. So narratives are mostly different because a narrative has a history. So you're thinking, who is the acting? Who are the acting people? What do they do? What is the construction between them? What are the motivations? And a vibe. You don't ask these questions. And this has a lot to do with, that doesn't feel right to me. And that's the vibe culture. While when you have narratives, then you have to say, if you are in a narrative, then you go into one, then you can build your own opinion. It can be like this or like that. But you're not a victim of a vibe. Does that make sense to you, or should I say more about this? No, I just wanted to say that we look at this. Like, this is what we research, that we kind of try to diagnose. This is one of the things that is on our to-do list. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, we are finished. It's the end of our time. It was beautiful today.